Have you ever wondered? On today's 15 with the author, my guest is Cody Cassidy, author of Who Ate the First Oyster? With a sharp sense of humor and boundless enthusiasm for the wonders of our ancient ancestors, Who Ate the First Oyster profiles the perpetrators of the greatest firsts and catastrophes of prehistory. Cassidy digs deep into the latest research to uncover the untold stories of some incredible innovators or participants in lucky accidents. Welcome to the show, Cody.
Thanks for having me.
How did you even begin your research, and what prompted this?
Well, what prompted this was that I was interested in first as a category in discoveries and inventions, but I wanted to look into inventions and people that we didn't have, that whose names weren't written down somewhere. I wanted to go into prehistory, which would involve a lot of research and from different angles, from different scientists and from geneticists and archaeologists, to try to piece together these the origins of some of these ancient discoveries.
How many firsts do you have in your book, and how long did it take you to write this and research?
I think the final number is 17, and it took me quite a long time. It's been over 3 years of working on this, and it's just because there are so many different theories and so many different people that I had to talk to in so many different fields to sort of triangulate these firsts and these perpetrators before I could present a good case.
It seems almost impossible, but there's obviously more to that. So who is or was the first person to eat an oyster?
So this sounds like a joke question, but the surprising thing is it has an answer. There's archaeologists recently found the oldest eaten shellfish, and they are 164,000 years old, and they were found in the bottom of South Africa. And this person, I name her in the book. I give all of these innovators names to give them sort of a personality. And she was probably interested in, she probably had seen another animal eat it, and that would have given her a little bit of inspiration and belief that it wouldn't kill her, this snotty, gross creature. But I think the second fascinating thing about the person who first ate the oyster was that she didn't live on the coast, so she would have had to travel there, which meant being able to predict the tides when oysters would have been available to pluck. Mm. And that meant she was a bit of an astronomer. She was able to look at the moon, and when it was full or new, recognize that it meant the super low tides.
You know, that's really interesting that you can extrapolate that other information based on those things.
Yeah, I think that's what I loved the most about this book and doing this research, is that a lot of these innovators that we found, that they seem simple, but they have like surprisingly complex answers, and that's what I found. And archaeologists and geneticists have looked into so many different ways in which how they did it, and I loved most of the answers.
And there's one interesting story as well that led to a lot of other things, and that was the wheel and axle concept. How did that come to be, and when?
Yeah, so scholars still call this the greatest mechanical insight in human history. And it was probably two parts. It was first came on rolling toys, because those are much easier to build. But the first person to actually build a full-size functional wheel and axle lived around 5,400 years ago. This is from the east of the Black Sea in what is now Russia. And his real skill was that he was a woodworking genius. He was the full-size wheel and axle involves all sorts of difficult problems, like even constructing the wheel and how you build it and the fit between the wheel and the axle and the length of the axle. These are all really sophisticated problems, because these first wagons were enormous. They were 500 pounds.
Wow.
So the details had to be exactly right.
That's amazing. And, you know, you also mentioned the person that got the first surgery. Wow, creepy, scary, the first surgery.
Yeah.
Who was the person that decided, oh, that's a good idea?
Yeah, there are a number of really strange and interesting facts about this first surgery. The archaeologists have found a 7,000-year-old skull in eastern France that has this hole cut into it, which looks like an injury of war, but they see healing around the edges of the bone, which means the patient not only survived, But the second remarkable thing is that the surgeon was probably practicing good medicine. This is called a trepanation. It's it was found in many different parts of the world. But modernly, with modern tools, it's also practiced. It's called a craniotomy. It's what you do when a patient suffers a particular kind of brain injury that requires you to release some of the pressure. So even though ancient medicine history is filled with a lot of quacks, the first surgeon might have actually been practicing good medicine.
We're talking with Cody Cassidy. He is the author of Who Ate the First Oyster? And one of the other pretty amazing things is that soap, and especially in light of COVID right now, soap has been so important for so long. Who decided soap was a good idea? How did they come up with that, and how long ago?
So soap, it's probably saved more lives than penicillin. It is really one of our greatest medical products. But the irony is that the person who invented it, the first person who made it, lived around 4,500 years ago, but she was not interested at all in its medical abilities, and probably had no idea what she had done. She was actually working in a textile factory. We can see this because the recipe for soap is in relation to making wool. Soap helps remove the lanolin, which is a fat on wool, and so that you can then spin the wool. And so she probably made her soap as a slightly better way to improve the manufacturing process, and had really no idea how many lives her product would eventually save.
That's just amazing to think of that one simple, or would seem to be simple, act, and the repercussions, the ripples through time that happens.
Yeah, it's really, soap has really been, and it's still an ongoing process, it's been a 4,500-year-long process of us sort of understanding what the power of soap, and I mean, not until we could see these organisms with the microscope did we even really know what was going on at all.
Yeah. What was your most memorable question answered?
I really liked looking into who drank the first beer.
I
first thought it was just kind of a fun, funny question.
Yeah.
But it actually had these really profound impacts. The first person to drink beer was 16,000 years ago, was one of the first people to gather these wild wheat seeds in the Middle East, and she probably was using gather them to make a sort of watery granola or a gruel, and she just simply left it out in the heat, maybe for a day or two, and then it would have fermented into a mild beer, which was a really lucky accident for her. But the reason I found it so fascinating was because archaeologists now believe that we started gathering wheat intensively not because we were interested in bread, but probably because we wanted to drink more beer.
Well, it's sort of like the birds that flock to the poppy fields, so to speak. So here we go.
It's surprising, but when you think about the sort of our behavior, it doesn't become as surprising that we would be more interested in beer than bread.
That's very true. The book is Who Ate the First Oyster? The author is Cody Cassidy, and really a fun, insightful read. So, folks, if you get this opportunity, please pick up the book or, of course, order online and get downloadable. Who Ate the First Oyster? Just fascinating information. And the whole idea of going back and finding this stuff out is pretty wild. Do you think that you will do this again? Will there be another book like this? Or what's next for you?
Well, I am writing another book on history, but it'll be, I'm changing it a little bit. I want to write a survival guide for people who were might travel back in time. You know, if you would travel to the dinosaur age, for example, I want to write a how to survive and what to eat and what plants were growing there and what to fear. So some people would say it's a little bit ahead of its time. We don't have time travel yet, but I feel like it'll be necessary at some point.
You know, frankly, I think you're right. at some point that's coming back. Well, Cody, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it and wish you all the best. Again, the book, Who Ate the First Oyster by Cody Cassidy.
Thanks so much for having me.